Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Neil Baker Psychic Hour. I'm Kristen. Good morning, Neil.
Good morning.
And welcome to the show. We've got some callers in the queue. So glad you could join us today. We do get to our calls after our conversation. Today, we're going to be discussing what is an evil spirit. 914-338-0164 is the call-in number for those of you who have not opted to call and receive a reading. Also want to let our listeners and callers know how to stay connected with us. You may do so by joining us here on Blog Talk Radio. You can click on the follow button and stay abreast of our show schedule. Also join us on Neil Baker Psychic on Facebook and Neil and Kristen Baker on Facebook. There are two accounts, and we would love to see you there, as well as on Twitter, where we post our radio show, and that's about it. But further conversation, 562-596-7818. So getting right into it, since we started a little bit late, Neil, what do you have to
Well, to try to go over the concept of evil in 10, 15
well,
minutes.
I'm thinking that probably we're not going to be able to do the whole, there would never be enough time on an hour radio show to get into the concept of good and evil and the depth that it necessitates. But, we're going to do our best in the few shows that we dedicate to the subject. But the subject of evil is interesting, because when you get into the psychic realm, you know, there are psychics that state there are no evil spirits, demons, there's no hell, which I know this is something that you and I both disagree with.
Well, first of all, evil has its root etymology. It does have a certain origin, meaning that it's basically the opposite of that which we described as being good. And it connotates immorality, and it does have its root system in terms of modern English and German and all that. We can get into that, but we're not going to get into that. Basically speaking, when you start to understand the concept of evil, evil is absolutely a subjective term. It's hard to be objective about evil, because everyone has their own concept of what is evil, and whether that's spiritual or whether it's political or whether it's religious. I mean, the basis of evil comes from the form of religion.
Right. Someone might say that the child screaming at 6 a.m. is evil, but that's not exactly. I mean, no. You know, it's like you said, it's a subjective definition.
It's totally subjective. And so it's hard to be absolute about it. It's relative to who's stating it and what is the nature of evil. I mean, we're evil to certain
right, because
nations
we're born
and
with,
countries in the world.
Right,
areas.
But I mean, even human beings are born with the mark of original sin, if you subscribe to the biblical tale,
it's really the absence or opposite of that which is considered good. And then you have to consider what is good. Well, that becomes subjective too, even if you're going to religious texts. So to conceptualize what is evil is very difficult to do. We're trying to capture it in the purpose of this radio show, in terms of what is an evil spirit, or are there evil spirits? Well, again, an evil spirit is relative to what you're basing it upon. So if you're using religion, for instance, then you're going to say that demons and devils and goblins and all that are evil. And what is evil? Evil is that which is at war against God, or the antithesis of God, or that which lives in the darkness, or that which is satanic. Again, all of these are abstractions. In their objectivity, they're nothing but abstractions, because we cannot bring into fruition, totally into a concrete reality, what is evil and what is good. We can describe the actions, and then we can base it upon philosophy and morals and things like that. But we're trying to decide for our audience, are there evil spirits? And yes, as you said, Kristen, we believe that there are evil spirits, meaning that there are spirits in the energy fields, in the astral realm, whatever you want to call it, that are at war against
human beings, and also the good spirits that exist. So there's battle between the dual, that, you know, that those dual characteristics of spirit energy.
And again, we're clumsy because we're talking in subjective, abstract terms that a rational person is just not going to connect to.
Excuse me.
But when you're dealing with evil energy or dark energy, sometimes it's by vibrational force. Sometimes evil energies are the connotation, or actually the literal definition is that which wants to harm us. Now, in terms of the element of the soul, another abstraction, there are some human beings who love evil because their souls connect to it, and they live and breathe in the body of the dark side, if you want to call it that. These are general clumsy terms, but people who live in that realm of darkness, or in that realm of the antithesis of God and spirit, will consider evil spirits to be their companions. It's like the guy hugging the alcohol bottle, as opposed to the person trying to tell him to get off alcohol. We have these opposing forces that somehow we're trying to put into manifest them into a concrete reality.
Right, so, but then you get different grades of evil. I mean, yeah. You know, just like there are different grades of good and different types of spirits. I mean, differentiating between what is a dark spirit versus what is an evil spirit, because there are spirits that are, you know, not clear cut in the category of good and evil. There's the in between.
Yeah, which now we get into the idea of how religion has sort of separated into different sects, SECTS. And that they each hold their dualistic beliefs, and that in the spiritual world they ascribe to certain spirits or angels or demons. So again, we're getting into these abstractions.
Right. This brings me back to my original point about psychics, many psychics not believing there are evil spirits or demons out there, because they feel that, you know, religion has conditioned humanity to believe this for behavior modification, for instance.
Yeah.
Which is,
well, you know, I mean, everyone is right,
debatable,
and everyone
obviously
has a form of some kind of right, because it's very subjective, and dealing with the subjective world, I know personally that I've walked into areas where I saw, felt, experienced evil energy,
mm-hmm.
and I mean saw, felt, and experienced. I wouldn't call that, it's an energy. And manifesting through the third eye, they do take on a certain persona or a certain image. And some of them, they have various shapes and forms that I've seen. And in communicating with these entities or these energies, has come up with really awful results. In terms of the activity
for
that the energy was producing.
Awful results for who?
Awful results in terms of the physical world, like spirits that mean to harm people,
mm-hmm.
or mean to bring destruction or hurt or something like that, sickness. they manifest in such a way that there are degrees of power within certain of these entities. And again, we're talking to the audience that connects to these ideas. If you don't believe it, you don't believe
right.
it. We're not here to advocate anything other than what our subjective experience is and where and what we're basing it on. So when we have this energy field and we consider the content, now I've dealt with what spirits, people who have died, they're in the soul world, S-O-U-L, and on Earth they weren't good people. In the astral realm, they're not particularly good energies. Some of them still mean harm. Others are struggling with the idea of good and evil, and others are lost in trying to repent or bring together a different kind of energy field. And in their confusion, in their sense of feeling lost and abandoned, they'll attach to human beings just for the sense of security.
Right,
of
so this
something
is the kind of
behind.
Gray area we're talking about.
Yeah. Now, are they evil? No. I wouldn't say
but
they're
evil. Darkness.
But there's darkness there. There's an energy field, you see, that lends itself to despair, suicide, death, an immoral life.
So,
that
go ahead.
Still carries.
I
go
apologize.
Ahead.
So when these spirits, for instance, spirits that were humans previously and may have dark energy around them, they can attach to people that are alive and produce a kind of negative energy field. And the question is, you know, how much power do these spirits have? And then when we get into the idea of spirits that are just pure evil, maybe never human beings on the earth or very evil human
it
beings on the earth, how much can they impact someone's life?
How can we use an analogy? Well, you know, you have a flea and it bites you and it jumps off. Okay. You have
one of my favorites.
Yeah, you have a tick.
Yeah, please.
And it bites you and it stays in your skin and it can give you Lyme disease. Well, there's a nutshell of an example as to how spirits can come to us. Some knock us for a loop, and then other ones stay around and try to feed off of our energy and influence us and make us, you know, they get into our energy field. It depends on the degree of the element, just as we can have a cold that goes away, or we can get a terrible bacterial thing that ends up killing us. When we move that analogy over to the spirit world, it's much the same way. There are bad spirits and there are just nuisance spirits. When we get into those areas, we get more into spirits that like to be dramatic. Poltergeists and ghosts don't absorb people's energy. They spook you from the outside and they move things and they, you know, do all that. They try to work with your energy field in such a way that they feed off of it, kind of in a vampirish way. But then you get energies that are different. Now, these are different. They have the ability to move into a person's energy field and then absorb energy. And that then leads itself to possession and all kinds of wacky things that can go on, aside from the true psychological states of hysteria or insanity or just mental imbalance.
Well, it's interesting. You mentioned Poltergeist, and you remember the movie Poltergeist. It was a Steven Spielberg movie.
No, it wasn't Steven Spielberg. It was another guy. But go ahead.
Oh, she was discovered. The woman, I say, and not the woman. The girl was discovered by Steven Spielberg,
yeah.
The star of it. That's I'm sorry, my mistake. But she, Heather O'Rourke, actually was in this movie. She was the child in the movie, and she ended up dying of some very unusual infection. So, I'm talking about poltergeist. Something occurred, I think, supernatural that caused her demise in whatever energy field was going on in the creation
well,
of that
film.
Well,
I mean, even in writing, in essay writing, in periodicals, in newspaper items, they'll say, well, they were struggling with their demons. One assumption is their demons may be drugs or some kind of obsession or psychological depression, and we personify them as demons. But personification is you're taking an abstraction and making it into a supposed real thing. Now, literally, we're not using personification when we're dealing literally with an evil energy that I guess you have to go to those metaphysical technicians to say, yes, there is an evil energy here. Now, a lot of psychics and mediums will profess that there are evil energies in homes. Myself, I've gone in and I didn't see or feel or find anything except for just mental imbalance within the family. But there are times, and it happens, the way you go into a home and there's actually an entity there, and it's pretty bad. I once went to a home out of my location and stayed in a person's home to deal with demons that were appearing in photographs and such things, to where even the father of the house
was a skeptic before, very logical.
He was convinced that there were demons in the house now. And this came from, I think, the origin of an Ouija board, which is another general abstraction as to, you know, Ouija boards are not, they're just Ouija boards, but can they activate something if the power and the energy is right? Yes, they can. Otherwise, it can just be harmless. But this was a case of an Ouija board that occurred in during a time when everybody was very vulnerable and it was used, and this is where the energy was coming from and whatnot. When the Ouija board was broken, it released spirits, and it almost sounds like a horror film. But these things, our consciousness is just not pure imagination. Like Willy Wonka would say, it's just not pure imagination. Imagination sometimes comes from a realm of reality. And as it moves into our psyche, we filter it through and we sometimes make it literary imagination. But oftentimes, literary imagination deals with the depths of something that's real. We just don't have the tools to manifest it so that it can be proven. So when we get into the element of evil energy, some of it is imaginary, some of it are allusions to just phenomena that's out there, and then some of it is literal. And when we get into the literal aspects of that, then you sort of need to measure it by a system that can help to define what is evil and what is its consciousness. Because evil will have a consciousness. There'll be something, a vibrational consciousness attached to it.
Okay. And this is why we say be careful when you seek a psychic or someone to clear your home. If they're, you know, just paranormal investigators or they're psychics that don't have a ton of experience, they may have abilities but don't necessarily know how to navigate this very complicated territory. Because if you're not experienced and well-versed, it can have detrimental results, but we can continue this, Neil, unless there's something you wanted to say.
No, let's get to our callers, and you know, if we have time, we'll get back to it.
All right, so let's take our first, 262. Hi.
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
This is Amy.
Oh, Amy. Hi, Amy. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. So you got on first. That's nice. And Amy... Amy, I know you're a 39-12-3, but, 12-29-69 is her birth date. What's going on, Amy?
Oh, well, I wanted, on this topic, I wanted to ask my kids when they were little, especially the middle child, used to say he saw dark figures. I think he was like 4 years old. And I didn't know exactly what to do, but I told him, well, I asked him if they bothered him, and he said, well, they kind of keep me awake. And I said that he had the authority to tell them to let him rest and leave him alone. But I don't know if that was evil or dark spirits or just energy.
Or even his imagination. What's his birth date?
5/19/2000.
5/19/2000. Okay. 9/10/6. Eight. Okay.
Yeah. You know, Amy, it's hard. There's different levels of interpretation. One is a purely psychological realm of interpretation that it can be real within the mind of the child or the individual, but it's not real external to the mind. So we have that to consider. I mean, we're entitled to to have nightmares and to see or feel things, and to even do so with a good dose of emotion and goosebumps, but it doesn't mean that there's something really there. So that's one thing. It could be, too, that a child is channeling the energy of the family, if there's tension in the family or tension at home. In other words, our brains are equipped to create a sense of evil. Now, two, our eyes can play tricks on us, and we can see shadows and all kinds of things. We're talking about the physical phenomena of experiencing, quote, something that is evil that really isn't, there's nothing there, but, you know, there's not, like the father says, there's nothing in the closet, look, it's just your clothes, and didn't see this coat and this hat look like somebody was standing there. Well, those things happen, so let's be logical first. Now, when we get into the idea that, now I got to go to a different place, Amy, because as a child, I did experience ghosts and spirits. There's just no doubt about it. And these were very strange entities, as well as souls that had crossed over that had died violently. So, but I had a grandfather that helped to direct me through this. Now, when we get into the idea of a child, like in the movie The Sixth Sense, we're getting more into the element of the phenomena between human beings and spirit in the spirit world. My grandfather taught me that I could have command over these spirits. And so luckily, he taught me the hard way by throwing a kid in the pool to teach him how to swim. He threw me into a closet and made me spend the night there to let me know that these spirits can't do anything to me. And no matter how much I banged on the door, he wouldn't open. Well, I learned that I came out sweaty but alive. And they actually can release themselves from the environment upon command. Now, but the problem is, some children are a little psychotic, and they tend to want to become king of the spirits, and they have them all around them, like something out of Maurice Sendak book or something, where the wild things are. And we don't want to necessarily encourage a child to tame an evil spirit and then use them as servants if we get into that fanciful way of thinking. The best thing to do if a child is having is to talk to the child. To talk to the child, to get the child to elaborate on what they're seeing, to encourage the child's dialogue so that you can get to the gist and the root of what they're experiencing. Then the best thing to do is to use a psychological approach. And that is to say, well, if you have the command to send them away, then do that, because it's so much better to have light and goodness. And then oppose those dark spirits with angels and good spirits and protective spirits, and the power of the individual child within to be healthy, to have good well-being, and to congratulate the child for sharing their experience with you, and that you can always work as a team together to look at these things and examine them and have a game plan as to what to do, because this allows the child not to have their own little secretive world. And if the child begins to oppose you as a parent, and there's a problem and it gets difficult, then you need a therapist. You don't need a psychic. First, you need a therapist and see what can be undone there. If that doesn't work, then maybe call in a psychic and see what's going on in the house if there's no other options for you. I don't know. Am I answering the question?
It kind of resolved. I mean, he's 16 now. This was probably when he was 4. It just has always stayed in my memory, and I've always had this question about, like, what was that? Do we know?
And he doesn't have those experiences. He doesn't have those experiences now?
He says not really. So I think that means he doesn't want to talk about them if he does.
Yeah. Does your child, your 16-year-old, Amy, are they at all? And, you know, a lot of 16-year-olds are, so I don't mean to generalize, but is this individual at all interested in sports?
No.
No sports at all? Do you have any other children?
Yeah.
Yes, I have three.
Three other children, three total children.
No, three total.
Three total, yeah.
Are any of them sports-minded?
No. The little one, the little girl, the youngest girl is a little bit more active than the other two, but none of them like active sports. It seems like team sports bother them.
Oh, team sports bother them?
Yeah. And all I can do is say I know for myself, something visually it's like I have a prism correction in my glasses, and I think I didn't have that all my life until recently. It's possible if they have something like that, that's maybe undetected right now, you know, ophthalmically, that and isn't being corrected. It's hard to be in a group of moving people. It's just
okay,
it's uncomfortable. It gives me a headache. Makes me kind of sick, like motion sick. So I don't know if that's why they don't like it, but they don't gravitate towards it at all.
Yeah. Well, there's a sort of avoidance fear factor that I'm starting to pick up on, and this may be passé, but there's avoidance fear factor that's going on that I could be connecting to some origin regarding sports and your children's sort of dislike of it or avoidance of it that is getting to a deeper root problem regarding a group experience that could be past life. Or it could be involved in the assemblage. A lot of times spirits will come in as an assembly of energy. And you know, when we talk about sports, they go, oh, come on, be a good sport or make sport of it. That means jest, J-E-S-T.
That's been coming up, hasn't it, for us?
And so there's the sport of jest. And when we get into that sport, we get into a different element of what sports means, because a lot of spirits like to toy and tease in it's a sport to them. So it just doesn't necessarily mean baseball, soccer, football, basketball. There's a sport to in the element of the spirit world. The sport, well, sport is to tease, torment, ridicule, scare. It's a sport to them, and it becomes competitive. It becomes a little bit like a horror film. So those kind of things may be what I'm picking up on, which could result in your 16-year-old having some difficulty. Forgive me, Amy, but is the father absent from the family?
Well, we're divorced.
Yeah,
and
that's
so
what I mean.
And I think he uses a lot of substances. He denies that, but the kids have mentioned when he falls asleep and he's mumbling, if he's been drinking, he's talking about things that seem to relate to using drugs. So,
yeah. Well, now there
I think
again,
he's pretty absent.
That produces, Amy, a energy field that goes into the astral realm of the house, into the element of energy in the house that can manifest into a form. It's not really a conscious form, but it has an element of energy. It's like an insecticide. It does have its power, but it doesn't have a consciousness. So that could have been part of the energy too. So that's what I mean. Sometimes the psychological breakdown within a family can create a spirit atmosphere that can be a little bit malevolent, perhaps.
Well, hopefully that's helpful, Amy. I'm glad we got you on early today, because I know last week it was you were on the tail end. So,
yeah, that was really interesting. Can I ask one more question not related?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, and then we have to go into our next caller. So,
okay.
Go ahead.
On the personal reading, there was a comment made that I've been trying to figure out. Neil said the partner I'm with is a what did he say? He said, I don't remember the exact context, but he said as long as he's operating in the seventh chakra and not
right,
the
so
lower
he,
chakra.
He's a seven, right?
I don't remember. It's
what's his birth date?
5/18/46.
46. Let me add it up real quick. 9, 14, 24, 34, 7. Yeah, he's a 34, 7. So what Neil is stating is that your significant other needs to be operating on that seventh energy, which is in the spiritual energy, because that's his master number. So as long as he's rising to the level of his master number, the relationship will be in good shape.
But the 1946 11/2.
Oh, yeah. The 1946 is 11/2. So that can be a challenge, because that's a challenge in relationships. The 11 carries an element of darkness. So that can be problematic, and he's got to transcend that 11.
5, 6, first and that's two.
Okay. Oh, yeah, there's an 11 and a 5-6 too. So
challenging.
It can be challenging.
So what Kristen's saying is, Amy, that in the element of being a seven, the person's got to feel the best part of being a human being, you know, authentic, stable, community-minded, helpful. You know, they have to have gotten through their demons, their psychological challenges. Otherwise, a person like this can fall deeper into despair and affect the environment.
Right, and that's coded in the birth date where that can happen. I mean, it's obvious where they can fall.
With an 18, though.
Okay. The 18 is a powerful energy. So
In the day.
So there's good things going on in the birth date. But, I mean, like anybody, we all have our duality in our codes. So.
Sure. I guess my question was, I think you answered it. I mean, I'm hearing answers that I'm attributing as answers, but I'm asking how do I know if he's operating from the seventh chakra?
By his actions, uh-huh. exemplifying the traits that Neil said, being helpful, being a participant in the family, not sinking into despair, not, you know, moving towards a vice or lack of grounding.
Okay.
It'll be pretty
evident.
Not
necessarily the most happy-go-lucky, self-actualized individual. You're not looking for Buddha or Jesus or something. I mean,
No.
I was all of a sudden I got worried and I was thinking, I'm just going
to
ask the question, get it cleared up and know that I'm okay. Plus all those things he has, he's stable, community-minded, helpful, so I'll just, not worry.
every chakra, Amy, has its
level.
Layers of perfection. So when we get into the seventh chakra, you know, the Buddha seekers and the Christ seekers and the spiritual minded people that are all about angels and the transcendence, that's the epitome. That's the pinnacle.
Yeah, not everybody
is
going to reach that point.
You don't. Yeah.
Right.
You know, that's not the firm requirement that has to be established while one walks on the planet expressing their seventh energy. A lot of people are wonderful, wonderful seventh chakra minded people. They save whales, they help children. But, you know, when you get to the idea of God and angels, they go, oh, I don't know about that. I'm dealing with the earth and the planet. So that's still a
that
seventh
helps a lot. Yeah, that helps a lot because there's not a lot of spirituality, but there's some openness and there's a lot of, you know, respect for everyone's individual beliefs. Just, you know, hey, leave that alone. We don't get to attack that. And, you know, that kind of attitude, but not a lot of personal spirituality.
Right.
So
the seventh energy will express itself on a body level, on the earth plane, on a soul plane, on the spirit plane. So there's different levels in each chakra, actually, that a person can express or not express, depending on their level of development. But it sounds like it's a good situation with this guy. And there's 7-3, which is 7-3 is a great energy. There's a mystical.
Well, I appreciate all your help. I'm learning. I'm learning, and it's, you know, I'm trying to, you know, just whatever, support all the people in my realm and support myself and learn.
Well, we appreciate it, Amy. What were you going to say, Neil?
I was saying they're both 9 to 11. They're both or a 14 in their month and day. They both add up to 14.
Oh, yeah. So there's a karmic connection there, 9, 10, 14.
Yeah.
So that's obvious.
It's a past life connection.
Wait, are you adding up the right birth date?
I think so. 12/29.
Yes.
And 8/5/18.
I can't even read my own writing what I just wrote down. 5/18,
so
8/9/14.
Oh, we don't have time. Okay, we don't have time. So we got to move
call,
on.
Call again, Amy, and we'll get.
Yep.
We'll further explain. Okay.
Yep, I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you for your support. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
Okay, 857 is our next.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, thank you for asking. My name's Keita. And
can you spell?
Can
you spell your name? I'm sure you can spell.
K-E-D-A.
K-E-D-A?
Yes.
Okay. And what's your birth date and location, please?
Sure, I'm in Boston. My birthday is 1/30/78.
1, 30, 78, 3, 4, 14, and 15. She's a 29, 11, 2. Okay. What is your question?
So you referenced something earlier in when you in the program where you said you have to be careful about people who come to cleanse your house or anything of that nature because they could be working with other energies. How can you determine whether something isn't correct?
Well, you know, let me preface it by saying that, you know, not necessarily was, because I think I made that statement, was I saying that other people, they're working with negative energies necessarily, but if they're not skilled, I mean, I'm sure there are people that can come into a home that are not scrupulous, but and have evil intent. But oftentimes people, because of their inexperience, don't know what they're doing and don't know how to direct energy. So they'll either bring something in that's negative or they are just completely ineffective. You know, they come into your house with a bundle of sage and burn it, which does nothing, by the way. So how do you tell, Neil?
Well, you know, common sense sometimes, good references, what people have experienced, some form of record of where they're coming from, their history.
Yeah, I just want to state, you know, with someone like Neil and I coming into Clear House, I mean, when Neil does a reading on the radio, the reading is full of validations. And there's, like you said, there's a record. So someone who gets accurate information time and time and time and time again and has an effective track record in being able to move energy, affect energy, clear energy, that's someone that you trust. If someone doesn't have those skills, then yeah, that would be a clue.
You know, not everyone can please everybody, but generally speaking, you know, when you go on these websites and you have a handyman and some people love them, some people don't, but you get some sense of who the person is, where they're coming from, what their references are. If you're not going to go to a school or a certain place where people are educated to get some sort of metaphysical degree or something, it's like trying to find a good handyman. It's just that it happens to be a psychic. So you have to, you know, use your common sense, Kita, in terms of looking for somebody that's authentic, that's real, that knows what they're talking about and how to work with things. A lot of people prey, P-R-E-Y, on people's fears, mm-hmm, and then they elaborate and they use all kinds of methods to help someone believe that they've got something in their home when there really isn't something there. And the other thing is, if there is something there, if they start saying, well, you know, pay me this much,
right,
I need this, this is not like that.
Right. There's not a surcharge. If you hire somebody to come into your home and do a service like a house clearing, I mean, there's not a surcharge for clearing the energy. You know, you pay them and they say, well, you know, you need to pay this on top so I can get rid of it. That's included. Or if you do a reading, I mean, you know, you work on, you get paid for the time that you dedicate to the person, not anything above and beyond.
You know, Kristen and I, we recently experienced someone who tells everybody they got a curse and it's got to be removed and they're going to get a candle and they're going to work full time.
Right. And outrageous sum of money.
No, that is so aggravating when I hear that kind of stuff. Now, can a job be difficult? Yes. I've often, you know, it's like a plumber that says, well, you know, you need a new toilet. This is not about a clogged toilet. You need a new one. So can a psychic come into a home and say, okay, this is a little bit, this is nasty. Yeah. But a person isn't going to say, okay, I'm going to be here for 2 hours, but I'm going to have to charge you more. No. What are you talking about? It might be harder, but you know what? So what? So the psychic or the medium has to sweat a little bit more. Big deal. There's nothing. If you're real, you're real. And your word make your work. Yes, yes, no, no. So be very careful when you're trying to remove something from your home. First of all, just use good common sense. If you're going to investigate, some people will just say, I'm not going to spend the money. I'm just going to live with it. That's fine too.
But there,
unless you find it's uncontrollable.
But there are people that are, you know, have good intentions that just simply aren't effective. I mean, that's, you know, you can meet great people that don't know what they're doing in this world.
Yeah, that's true too, Keita. I've walked into homes that supposedly have been cleared and, you know, boom, it's something's back. And then I will get a call and we go in and yeah, it wasn't removed. I mean, again, these terms are so elusive, but there's still an energy there. I've even thought I've removed things and people have called back and said it's still here. And I go, oh, really? You know, and then it's another trip, but maybe. But, you know, but at least you're dealing with someone who's honest, whose intentions are pure. They've done their homework. They've made this their life. And they don't have a reputation for being a ripoff or a phony. You know, I don't know. Are we answering your question to any degree?
No. You definitely are. I mean, I'm somebody who I've had like cleansings and things of that nature, but I'm always kind of, I always look at the person, right? So just to see, I'm a pretty good judge of character. I like to think I'm pretty intuitive. It was just a question, just because it's always good to learn. So when you said that, it kind of resonated because I've had readings done before where people will say, well, you have a demon attached to you or you have negative. And it's kind of like, really?
I think. Go ahead.
No, it's just when people start talking like that, I have to question it.
I would be very cautious when people say that, because I think it takes someone who is very, very skilled in this world to be able to diagnose and clear. And you can, you know, like I said, you know, you can have someone who does have good character, but is just not ready to make those kind of assessments for people, and they're well intentioned but just not experienced enough. So
you know, Keita, I've done readings where I've seen these things, you know, spirits attached to people and whatnot. But for the most part, when I see it, it's not uncommon. So it's not a big deal. So if I say that to a person and they go, oh, my God, I go, well, no, we're going to clear it right now. And it's cleared, you know, and in my experience, I use angels and guides to help me out. But it sounds more dramatic than it really is. But it's like saying to me in the doctor office, it's like saying, do you know you had a tick on your back? Oh, I thought that was a mole. No, it's a tick. I'm going to take it off, you know, or it's a mole and let's just burn it off. You know, it's not spirits around you can be aggravating. They can be potentially harmful. But if somebody has a spirit attached to them, don't panic. If someone says that and they know what they're doing, you don't need to panic. But to remove it when it's authentic, it isn't a big deal. It isn't that hard.
Okay.
And so if somebody starts giving you all kinds of dramatic what has to be done.
That's the real clue.
I've been doing this over 40 years, and the big, big dramatic stuff is very rare. I mean, it happens, but it's not that often.
What were you going to ask, Keita?
So I have a question just about the 1129 energy.
Oh, okay. Yeah, go ahead. And then we have another caller after you, so we have a few more minutes, and we're going to get to our last caller for the day. Private caller,
okay.
You're next. Go ahead. Keita, what's your question about that?
With that particular energy, I know that there are a lot of challenges and learning curves and heavy karmic debt and, you know, that people need to get through. Is there
you mean
some
the 2911 too? Your
yes.
Karmic and master number? Yeah.
Yes. At some point, you know, do individuals get through at least some of this karma? And if they don't, what happens?
Well, it depends on the individual. I mean, some people get through karma and some people don't. It just depends on how that person moves through the karma. I mean, 2911 twos can transcend. We all have a chance to transcend when we're here on the planet. So just because there's a difficult karmic number and master number doesn't necessarily mean that someone isn't going to be able to complete their journey on the planet. Did you have a specific question about yourself? You're going to say something, Neil?
Well, so there's always the opportunity, yes, to burn off your karma, to make things happen, to transcend in a particular lifetime. So there's always that wonderful opportunity. Remember, you're existing on the planet, and as your awareness expands, so do your actions. And it's an exciting opportunity to bring your spirit up to the highest level it can reach. And not, don't worry so much about the darkness. Highlight it with the things, put action into it that activates well-being. That's the best way to deal with karma.
And it's evident that she has that consciousness because she's asking the question.
Well, you have a 7-8 in your year, beautiful numbers. You notice your day is 30, which would be the number next, after 29, which is your master number. But you've got some wonderful things going on. Yes, you have challenges. Yes, you've gone through your darkness. You've had plenty of that. We see that. But that doesn't mean you're cursed. It just means you're bringing along a background of karma that you now, as Kita, have the opportunity to reduce and to make your race all the more powerful as you live and breathe.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay,
well,
Kita, go ahead.
Neil, do you guys do private readings?
Yes, we do. Yeah, the number to call is 562-596-7818, and you can get the details that way. We don't really everything's done by phone in terms of setting up appointments and answering questions, so that's the number you'd want to call rather than sending an email.
Perfect. I appreciate you guys. Can I still listen? Can you put me back and can I still listen to the show?
Absolutely, Kita. Thank you so much for your call and your questions. We really appreciate
it. Thank you.
Take care. Bye. Okay, we've got two callers now here. So private and then 858. The private caller first. Hello.
Hello.
We have silence. Are you there, caller?
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
Hello.
Hi, can you hear us?
Yes. Can you hear me?
We can hear you now.
Hello?
Well, we can hear you.
Oh,
yes.
Great.
Yes.
Okay. Hi. How are you? Well, first of all, sorry. Well, happy Friday, I shall say.
Thank you.
Okay. How's it going?
Good. 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 How are you? What's your name?
Hi. My name is Cynthia.
Cynthia, hi. And Cynthia, where are you calling from? What's your birth date?
Okay, I'm calling from New York, and my birthday is August 11th.
And the year?
It was August
11th.
72.
72, all right. 29-11-2, another 29-11-2. Same, did I do that right?
No.
8-11-72. It's 29-11.
34-7.
No.
August 7th?
August 11th.
Oh, August
11th?
August 11th, yes.
Oh,
yeah, she's a 29-11 too. Same as our previous caller. What's your question, Cynthia?
Okay, I am looking to move, and I would like to know if you see that happening at the end of October or the end of November.
At the end of October or November. Okay.
Well, the reason you're saying
So, Cynthia, you're saying October or November because your month and day, 8-11, add up to a 10, and your day is an 11. So that's October and November. It's on the karmic side of your birthday. So 1972 is also a 10.
Ah, okay.
So that's it's a element. You're moving
rebirth.
In an element of moving from a karmic location. That has past life energy into it, and you're trying to move into an area with a fresh new start. So when you move, you're leaving behind a lot of old stuff.
Yes.
And you see? And the attitude, Cynthia, is that as you move and you leave behind the old stuff, you're not going to take it with you. You're going to be free of that baggage. So The October-November date is awaiting you in terms of saying, here's October, here's November. They're both saying, well, as the faster you get rid of this baggage and that you don't take it with you, one of us will step in and take the lead. It's going to be either October or November. It's sort of up to you to get all the things wrapped up and say, I don't need this anymore. We're talking about mental, spiritual, physical things.
Yes.
And you know what we're talking about. So you get rid of those things, Cynthia, and as you move forward, the new location will start to manifest more, and you'll have your element of October, November. Some of it's up to you and how fast
okay.
you will.
All right. That's what I kind of figured that too. Because I just got a job at a call center, so I think I had to save a little bit of money before I move, but I don't want to say October and then still be there in November. So I'm just kind of planning right now.
Yeah, it's going to be a good move. You're going to have a fresh new start. Good luck.
Okay, thank you, and I'll call you guys back. Okay.
Oh,
bye-bye.
Great.
So
we love that, Cynthia, okay. And you have a great
bye-bye.
Voice for the phone, so
okay,
probably a good job for you.
Okay.
Call center. Okay, take care. 858 is our final call of the day. Hello.
Yeah. Hello. How are you both? Hope you're doing well. My name's
Robert.
Well,
thank you. Robert, yes, we spoke with you on
Wednesday.
Oh, you
remember, good. Yes, ma'am, last minute, end of your show, yes.
Great. Good to hear from you again. And I have your birth date here, but I can't read what I wrote. 5763?
Yeah, May 7th, 1963. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right. And go ahead. We were talking about your work last time, right?
Yeah, I'm getting down to the last wire. I've been out of work for about 86 days, and resources get really thin, and I'm getting really, worried and concerned, worried more likely. And and I just had a job that was supposed to happen, and it slipped through my fingers just about 4 days ago. And I I need work, and I need work before it's too late.
Robert,
I need to find work.
Yeah. Are you collecting any kind of like unemployment benefits, or is that not a possibility?
No, that's not a possibility. Right now, I got just enough to barely make the rent. And I did 20 years in the Navy, but that only pays the rent. That doesn't pay the other utilities and other bills. I've been traveling to build power plants, 1 to 100 of them in a country or in the United States. Electrical INC, but now I'm out of work and things are getting really slim to none, and I'm really concerned. My future, I've got some things I got to do to close doors, things to open doors, and right now I can't do anything without resources, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, of course. Well,
let me ask you, Robert, I want to ask you a question. I'm going to go to a different area of thought right now, so don't just follow my lead, like I'm a bloodhound. In your life, did you ever smoke cigarettes?
I did. I don't anymore.
Yeah,
no, but
that's right. Well, don't worry about that, because where I'm going, I'm taking you on a crazy trail for a minute. Did you smoke? would you say you smoked cigarettes anywhere from 10 to 12 years out of your life?
Oh yeah, more than that. Yes.
Yeah. Uh huh. And have you ever, I know you have a certain mechanical ability, but in your wildest dreams, did you ever consider ever writing anything?
No, I haven't. Though I've been told by some that I should write something.
What, someone told you should write something?
Okay, now from there, have you ever done any?
Tell me about my Navy experiences and my worldwide experiences.
Right. The Midway?
Well, I was on 8 different aircraft carriers. I happened to take the Midway from 90 to 93 from Japan to liberate Kuwait and Iraq, went down to Somalia a little bit. But I've got 20 years of service on 8 different aircraft carriers, one Aegis cruiser twice. The reason I didn't follow through after the 20 years is because to retire as an aviation or avionics electrician, I know any aircraft, any airport thoroughly, it doesn't matter what kind it is, and helicopters, is because they pay chump change. They pay the same as a security guard. And somebody opened the door to the electrical power plants, got to learn that really well as instruments and controls technician, electrician, and then I've been able to travel with that for the last 15 years. Now it's getting really hard to find work, and they don't build power plants every day. So I don't want to make $10 an hour as a, like flipping hamburgers or anything when I've been making much, much 10 times more than that.
Yeah.
Now I'm
well,
working out of money.
You know, as you're talking, when I was a kid, this novel came out called The Big E. about the aircraft carrier. And I remember reading it when I was in the seventh grade. I don't know if you're familiar with that particular.
No, sir.
Yeah. But anyways, that's beside the point. Have you ever done any teaching or instructing throughout your life?
Throughout my Navy career, quite a few opportunities. And yeah, I've done some things through the power plants for the customer as we built from nothing to something, 114, maybe 84, 100 power plants in a country. But they always ask for training or knowledge or technical advisement. That's why I want to stay with this, but I'm out of work for so long, I run out of money,
the way I'm working and we're chatting away, I'm actually helping you on the radio to remove energy. You don't understand that, but I'm doing that. So I'm going to put out a sort of soft pedal prediction that you're going to have work within 2 weeks. I'm going to state that now. I'm basing it on this kind of wacky approach to conversation with you, if you will, that's still based somehow rooted in reality. And I'm trying to experiment to help you out, Robert, since you're calling us and seeking help, that maybe what I've just done, and it works this way, because it's a little crazy, but what I've just done might be converted into an energy field, and you do deal with energy abstractions, so you might understand my radar sense of conversation, that you're going to have work within 2 weeks. That's what we're going to put out. And so let's see if the command of our experience the command of our experience will manifest, and we'll all be happy and celebrate that you got a job.
Yeah. So what we want you to do, Robert, is call us and let us know. But we'll definitely be putting out that energy for you and you stay positive to your mental health.
Yeah, God bless you. No, I'm very good at what I do, but it's getting harder and harder to do this job. I appreciate that.
A lot of people are in that position, so we understand it. But hopefully there'll be some relief on the way. We appreciate your call and let us know how things progress. Okay, we are back on the air Wednesday, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. Thanks, everybody, for joining us today. Bye-bye.